Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I bless the Creator. Hallelujah, Elohim, on this great rising morning. I bless Jehovah at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. I'm excited today. Today is the Feast of Trumpets. Yes, the beginning of the seventh biblical month. And these are new learnings for me, celebrations and feasts that I should have been celebrating for years as a believer. But I tell you, I'm just excited about learning these new things. And I'm just so grateful to the Father for all of you who called to tune in on Crown Talking Drums Radio once again this early Sunday morning. I don't know, it's the third Sunday of this month on the calendar, on an American calendar. But really in the biblical month, we're just in the seventh month, not the ninth month. I tell you, learning a lot of new things, and I'm loving every minute of it. But as I was stating, I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad you're tuning in and listening. You may be listening to the recorded broadcast. I don't know. Either way, I'm just glad you're here. And you took the time out of your schedule to come and hear what the Father would have to say today. Amen. So welcome to For Such a Time as This Ministry. My name is Sarepta Cunningham. Once again, I'm grateful. I can't praise the Most High enough. He is so worthy. I thank him for this opportunity in this space, and even with my begrudgingness at the beginning to even come in this space to do this, I'm grateful that he allowed me to submit willingly. Amen. Once I heard him say go, hallelujah, I'm just grateful. This time of this space, this time in my life, this season of my life, I just don't take it for granted that he's allowing me to encourage others. And not just others, but I encourage myself at the same time with his truth. Amen. And if I ever go in error, I pray he brings me back to correct something I may have said wrong. I don't want to give his truth out incorrectly. Amen. I know his truth is what elevates us. Amen. It brings the very life of himself to the front, you know, and I'm grateful about that because it's not about us. We're just the vessels. We're the mouthpieces. We're the hands. We're the feet that he wants to use, amen, in his kingdom on this earth. To those of us who've already been called out or chosen to have and live this set apart life, we're saints. We are his saints. Amen. Who by his grace through faith believed in and we have accepted his son, Yeshua. Hallelujah. The shedding of his blood for the remission of our sins. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. There may be some who's on here, amen, who haven't come to depend on and trust in his word, taking him at what he says. You may be listening in as well. I'm glad you're here too. Amen. There's still opportunity for you. Amen. Our Father's arms are open, wide open, waiting on us to believe. And I think we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I believe it's going to come out in the message. So hang on, hallelujah, just a little while longer and see what the end's going to be for what the Father has for us today. It's just a blessing for any of us, all of us who's already have the faith and the belief in the Son of the Almighty. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. And as the Father sees fit today and as I'm led by the Holy Spirit's prompts and how he leads and what he wants to bring out, what he wants me to say, we're going to talk about his good news. Amen. It's good to hear some good news. The word is good news whether we want to hear it or not. When it hits, hey, it's still good news. He loves us so much. He wants us to get our acts together. Amen. He wants us to walk this walk. Amen. And talk this talk of his truth. Amen. And I'm just so excited about that today. Amen. It's a lot going on in the world. It is. And we can get so caught up just in that fact of what all we see, all the negativity that's going on. But we have to keep our minds focused and stayed on what the word says. That will keep us in the perfect peace that we need. Amen? Amen. Yes, we can see that, you know, in the political arena, the governmental situation, all the chaos going on, and, you know, the teenage crimes and all the chaos. Just so much going on. The gay and lesbian rights is all twisted up. All those rights have been put in place, and they're calling it right, and it's an abomination to our Father. It's an abomination to the Most High. He's allowed these things to be governed and put in this governmental system. But we know we are the kingdom citizens, and we've been set here to make a difference, to change the order, to pray, hallelujah, and expect our Father to move. He said these things were going to be, so they shouldn't take us off guard. Amen, because he's already told us throughout the scriptures, amen, that these things would be. Thinking about the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the fires and the floods and all that's going on through like the tsunamis and the, you know, just happening all diverse kinds of places, all over the place. The wars, even with the Ukraine and the Russian war that's been going on for some time now. It's just so much, and then you're hearing the rumors of a civil war. We're just hearing these things, and that's what we've already been pre-warned about. Amen. And then with all these diseases popping up, taking a vaccine for this, take a vaccine for that. The devil is a liar. I mean, it's just so much going on. We've already been warned that these things would be. Amen. But our Father, he's high above each and every one of those things. And even in every battle that we're dealing with, whatever we're facing right now, he's greater than that. His word has the final say with all of that. Hallelujah. So I'm just glad this morning that we're going to talk about his word some more to encourage us even the more. So with all that going on, with all that being said, that we see and hear about, the negativity, if ever there was a time for kingdom, godly encouragement through the word of the living Elohim. Hallelujah. If ever there was a time for fervent prayer, not just prayer, but effectual fervent prayer, the time is now. So I hope you come with some spiritual ears to hear and eyes to open to hear and be able to see what's really going on around us, what's really going on in this world. We have to know how to pray, be effective in our prayers as followers of Yeshua Messiah. I tell you, we just have to continue to go forth. Amen. That's what he expects. Being effective kingdom citizens. That's what the Most High has anointed us and appointed us to be for his kingdom. I speak his shalom to you at the beginning, and I know I'm going to speak that shalom peace again at the end. Hallelujah. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, which is a brand new day that you've allowed us to see. Thank you for giving us a new day of your mercy where we're not going to get what we deserve. Your grace is right here with us as well. Grace is going to meet us in the pathway along the day where we get what we do not deserve. Hallelujah. We thank you for helping us not to take so much for granted. Yes, you woke us up and we're in a right state of mind. We know who we are. We know whose we are. We're learning up. purpose even the more, and we thank you for that. Hallelujah, you've given us the activities of our limbs. We can move about. We thank you for that. Our senses are in operation. We can see and smell and hear and taste and feel. We thank you, Father. We don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. So many might not have some of their limbs, might not have certain things, but they don't even take things for granted. I see the blessing has even my mind is just thinking, Father, on some of the people I follow on YouTube, and they don't let the inability of not having a limb or two or whatever to keep them from even serving you and being of service to others. Father, help us help us not to take what we do have, all these faculties and all these limbs in operation today. Oh, we praise you. We thank you and we magnify you. Father, help us to not take for granted that you clothed us with all things. You've given us everything that pertains to this life and godliness for building up of your kingdom. We thank you for it, Father. And now, as we get ready to go into your word, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to speak out what you would have to say. Hallelujah. You're going to elevate us even the more. Thank you for those who desire to be encouraged, who desire to be elevated in you even the more. We give you praise right now. Take over this time. Infiltrate it. Hallelujah. With your presence. For such a time as this. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints, I'm just excited this morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get a little nervous when I don't know what the Father's going to say, because this time he didn't give me anything. I just went to bed last night. I said, okay, I was pondering and I was walking and I wasn't hearing nothing. And when I woke up this morning, I heard a word. After I said, Father, I thank you for this day. I don't know what you want me to say. I don't have nothing prepared. But you know what? We have to always be prepared. We don't know who we might have to talk to, minister to. We have to stay prepared. But when I woke up this morning, as soon as my feet got up, I heard the word persistence. I said, whoa, there it is. Amen. So I washed my hands, used the restroom, washed my hands again. I said, okay, Father, here we go. I thank him. He may not come all the time when we want him to, but he's always right on time. And I thank him for that this morning. Perseverance. That was the word. Perseverance. Yes, I might have said, they kind of go hand in hand. But perseverance is the word he gave me. And as I began to just meditate on that word, when I was washing my hands and before I got into my spot where I wanted to get, where I got all these different Bibles and different words open before me, before I got there, I was just talking, and he was just talking to me about things that I've been persisting through lately myself. And it's going to help you think about that as well, I'm sure, as we talk and as we share and as we encourage. Hallelujah. I'm just thankful that he has called me to be an encourager. I thank him for that. I thank him for that. I don't have time to judge no one. Amen. He's the judge. I'm not the judge. I can only give what he gives. And it's up to the individual to take whatever they're going to do with that and run with it. Listen to it, take heed to it, or not. It's up to the individual. Amen. We're just mouthpieces. That's all we're supposed to be. We can't force anything on anyone. Amen. Persevere. Hallelujah. Perseverance. So even as I look that word up, you know, the word perseverance is only in throughout the King James Version. When you look up that passage, it was the last thing I looked at when I looked it up in my concordance, that word is only listed in one passage of scripture with my concordance is related to the King James Version. So that word perseverance is only in one passage of scripture. My. I was like, well, that's not the passage you gave me, Father. So when I began to look up, but I didn't look up that till last. And I was like, wow, look how you did this. So what I looked up first was persevere. I just love the Father. I just love him so much. He's holy, he's worthy, and he's faithful. That song's been on my mind. I've just been singing it over and over. And you may hear it softly playing in the background. But like over in the morning, like 3-something yesterday morning, 4-something yesterday morning, about 4:15 when I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I just began to talk to the Father and lay there and listen to see what he's going to say to me. And I went into worship. That song's been on my heart, my mind, in my mind for 2 days straight. It was there again this morning. He is holy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. He's faithful. We have an honor and a privilege to worship at his throne. Isn't that a blessing? But I'm just thankful for this perseverance. Amen. When you look up this word in the Greek, to persevere, it is proskaterio. Proskaterio, which means to be steadfast. Amen. To be firm, to be secure. And the word for steadfast, I looked that up too. The Greek word is babeios. Babeios, which is firm and secure, amen, to continue steadfastly in a thing and give unremitting care to that thing, whatever it is. It's a continuous. Unremitting is continuous. You're continuously paying attention to something. You're being persistent with it. You're persevering in it. Amen. And I'm grateful as children of the Most High, those who's listening and have made Jehovah Elohim God. You know I call him by his name, God. You hear me say Elohim for God. You'll hear me say Yeshua for Jesus. You'll hear me say Messiah for Christ. And you'll hear me say Jehovah for Lord. Amen. Because when you look at it in all the details, I don't want to go there. I want to say the message. But even in the original Hebrew writing, there was never a J used. There was a Y. Amen. Man came along and changed so much. But hey, I just want to keep it where it should have been and never should have been changed, because we were asked. It was instructed in the old covenant not to change it. Amen. In the Torah, in one of the books of the Torah, in Exodus, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I'm just grateful that he has said, I know you all have had to persevere through some things. You've had to have persistence. You've had to, you know, continuous. And some things we've let slip along the way. So has the Father would have given me this. Apparently, he wants me to encourage us, because he was letting me know some things even recently that I persevered through. And so, you know, didn't give up, didn't stop, kept it moving, kept it going. So that's what I'm encouraging us today, as saints of the Most High. He don't want us to stop, to cave in and quit. You know, we have to keep walking this walk of faith. Amen. And it is a good fight of faith. It's good. It may not feel good all the time, but we have to continue on and can't lose heart and quit and cave in like a coward, because we don't serve a coward. We serve the Most High. Amen. And because we serve him, his DNA has been put in us. We have his bloodline in us. The Holy Spirit is in us, leading us, equipping us. Hallelujah. He is the presence of the Most High. He leads us. He guides us. He talks to us. Amen. In order to persevere, though, things that we have to delight in the law of Jehovah. Psalms 1 and 2 tells us that. And in his law, hallelujah, his covenants of what he's instructed from the beginning, do we have to meditate in it day and night? Amen. That's the only way we're going to have success, good success. Other than that, it's going to be a crop failure. I don't want any crop failures. Amen. I know who I am. Don't you know who you are, who you belong to? We belong to the Most High. He just wants me to remind us of this. So we have to stay, hallelujah, persevering. Stay steadfast, firm, and secure in the word, in his law,
in keeping his laws. So we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It doesn't matter what you're doing. But then if you continue on in that Psalm 1, that's the first Psalm, hallelujah, of encouragement. Blessed. I want to back it on up. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, we don't have time to be getting in other people's business. Amen. Even if they are a sinner. We all were sinners, but we've been saved, hallelujah, by the grace, hallelujah, of the Most High through our faith. Yes, we've been saved in Yeshua Messiah. We believe. So because of that, we don't have to stand in the way of us. We pray for them. That's our duty. That's a privilege that we get to do. See, our delight is in the law of the Father, of Jehovah, and we don't meditate on that day and night. So we can be, when the seasons come, even in a drought season, to me, you're still bringing forth, hallelujah, fruit. Amen. Even when things seem dead, you're still bringing forth fruit. Amen. And I'm grateful and thankful for that. Aren't you? You should be. Hallelujah. Joshua 1:8 encourages us. See, we're still talking about this being steadfast and persistent in what we're doing. It's going to go to another arena, but right now this is where he has us. I didn't know this was going to come up, but I know those two passages of scripture talk about us. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's that good success again. Hallelujah. It's awesome. It lets us know as we're meditating on the book of the law. Huh? What is the law? The commandment. It's the Torah. And I'm so grateful that I'm paying it even the more attention now. More so than ever. Hallelujah. Because I want to do what's right in the sight of my Father. I'm not living this life to please man. I'm living this life to be a sweet-smelling aroma unto the nostrils of my Father. I don't want to get before him. This is serious to me. I hope it's serious to you. I don't want to get before him and hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Because trust me, there's going to be people that, oh, didn't I heal in your name? Didn't I lay hands on this person and they recovered? Didn't I cast out demons? Yes, you did, but you were far from me. You was working lawlessness. You weren't even honoring my laws. Oh, my. I don't want to be there. I do not. I want to hear him say, well done. Been living this way for years. Hallelujah. Wanting to hear him say, well done. But now I have a deeper understanding of how to get there. And when the understanding and the enlightenment's been made, you have no excuse. We have no excuse to do the right thing and do what he's instructed us to do. There's no longer unexcused saints of the Most High. Yes, we're called saints. We've been called to be set apart, to live set apart lives. And you hear people say, oh, we're still in this flesh. There's no way we can live a perfect life. We can work toward it. We're not perfect. None of us are, but we're still working on it, becoming perfected and matured. We're growing up. Some of the things you did 5 years ago, you shouldn't still, once it's been revealed to you, you shouldn't still be doing it today. That's an act of our own will. That's the bottom line. We're still making choices. Hallelujah. We have choices. That's why free will has been given. Amen. The covenant of the new part of the grace, which grace has already been here. It's always been here. It never was not here. Grace is for the entire world, even the heathens, the pagans. Yes, grace is for us all. He allows his reign. The Father allows his sun and rain, to go on the just and the unjust, those who liveth right before him and those who not. Come on now. Let's get it. We can't get this scripture, this word, we can't twist it up. And it's been twisted up and taught wrong for many years across the pulpit. I was listening to it myself and kept questioning, what's that? That don't make no sense, because the words say this right here, but then they say that right. That don't make no sense. It's just good to be able to get the truth. Study for yourself. We have to study. Let the Holy Spirit, he is our revelator. He reveals the truth, the secret things unto us. That's why it's so important, and I say it all the time. We have to study, hallelujah, to show ourselves approved unto the Father. A workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we have to do. Amen. So when we don't do that, who are we deceiving? Ourselves. Amen. I just wanted to go to that scripture because there's more to it than just saying that. And I'm just going to go there. I know it's in 2 Timothy 2, I believe. Yeah. Study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There was another passage I was thinking about. But anyway, we do have to study in order to rightly divide the word of truth. There was another passage I was thinking there was something else behind it that I needed to bring out. It wasn't this one, but that's okay. Amen. We still have to study out and show ourselves approved unto the Father. So you got to clear out what it says for sure, all the way across the board. Because a lot of people think they have to show themselves approved unto man. No, we don't have to approve ourselves to man. We've already been stamped and sealed with the approval of our Father. We were stamped and sealed with his approval when he called us, when he drew us to him, and we took heed to the drawing. Amen. We don't need a stamp of approval from a man, but so much tradition has taught that to us, that we need a stamp of approval from man. Man has to put his hands on us for us to go forth and do what the Father has called us to do. It's a confirmation. It's a tradition. But he's already put his stamp of approval on us. Amen. And we do honor leadership. We have to have it. We must have it. We need direction. But our sole dependency is not on that person as the leader, as our stated leader. We take and grab what they say, but sometimes what they say, they can mess up and miss it. You better study for yourself. I've had to. When I was a young girl, I was studying for myself, trying to figure it out. Wait a minute, that didn't sound right. Then I asked the question, they looked at me like I was crazy. That was when you was in the live setting. Now, for whatever reason, where I'm at, I won't even get up. If I have a question, I won't even ask it. But sometimes I don't have any. Or if I want to make a statement, I hadn't done it yet. Got to get there. I will. Anyway, I'm just thankful this morning, hallelujah, for this perseverance that we must have. Amen. And I know you hear me saying a lot lately in the messages, if you listen to them, or some of the ones, if you keep coming on, I say a lot of musts. Because some of these things are what we must do. Amen. To line up and be that sweet-smelling aroma into the nostrils of our Father. Amen. He knows we're not perfect. He knows at the beginning, when we first accept him, what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. Give me just a minute. My phone is in the other room, and that song is went to another song, and it's a bunch of hollering, and it's distracting me. Hang on just a minute. Hallelujah. I just bless the Most High right now. I don't need no distractions right now. No time, but right now, because the word is going forth. And I just thank him this morning that we are going to, after today, going forward, if we're falling a little short in something that we need to stand in, I pray you're going to get clarity today and you won't do it any longer. Something, whatever it may be, is going to come to your mind, and you're going to know how to move forward in it. I believe that. The Father, he doesn't give his word. He said his word doesn't return back void. It does exactly what he sends it out to do. It accomplishes what he pleases. Amen. He wants his word to be effective in our life. He's his word. Amen. And he watches over his word to perform it. So if he's watching over his word to perform it, he wants it to be effective in our lives. My. Why are we not honoring his word? Huh? Okay. Well, let's go on in. So in the persistence, with being persistent, the first passage of scripture the Father gave me was Luke. I mean, we've already had some scriptures, but those just kind of came in from the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful to him. Amen. I'm thankful to him. I need him. I need his guidance. We need his guidance. We need his guidance every day, every moment, every second of every minute, every minute of every hour of every day. Every day of every week of every month of every year. We need the guidance as saints, those who've accepted, hallelujah, Yeshua Messiah, as your personal Savior. You need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Yes, amen. And he gives us guidance through the word. That's why we have to study it. Amen. Hallelujah. Meditate on it day and night. Luke 11. Amen. Grateful for this word. And we're going to start at that very first verse. Give me just a minute which passage I'm going to use. I think I'm going to come out of the King James Version. Yeah, King James Version. Let's see. We know Luke. You know who he was. He was a doctor. And he was a Greek. All of it doesn't matter, but sometimes it pays for us to know who's teaching, how they're teaching. He was a doctor. That's what he was. And you know, many of you know how they talk about how Yeshua was so poor and all this. But wait a minute, he called people off their jobs, their livelihoods, to follow him and stuff. Come on now. When he picked his disciples, when he picked them, he pulled them off where they was making their money. So they had to have, he had to have something because he was helping to supply for them. As they followed him, they gave up their livelihoods. Fishes. They were making money. Come on. We need to think about these things. Huh? And they say he was poor. Come on now. They got the scriptures all twisted up. Starting at that first verse. In Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Jehovah, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. You hear that? Because of his friend's importunity. Have you ever looked that word up? I've looked it up a long time ago. So it was even marked in this particular Bible that I had. I had even written it down and written down the Greek word. I've always kind of studied that way, using Greek words, Hebrew words, going back to the Concordance, going back, getting a definition for what it meant in that particular scenario. Because sometimes the word means different. A word means something different. And that's what I love about the way I've always studied. And then I'm hearing the apostle at HOI say the same thing. It's a confirmation. I've studied that way. Amen. Over the years. Amen. So I'm grateful for that. But importunity is, the Greek word is anadia. Anadia. If I'm saying it correctly. Some of these words you may kind of mispronunciate. That's okay too. But that is the Greek word, and it means shamelessness. That's what it means right here. Importunity. Shamelessness. So he didn't care. He had no shame for asking. He needed some bread. He needed something to eat. Amen. This is just a parable, because back then they fixed loaves. They had fish. And you know how they were eating and how they survived even in the biblical times. So Yeshua always used examples that they could relate to. Amen. So even this person, he didn't have no shamelessness. He was going to knock on that door. He was going to keep coming. And he did not care. Amen. There was no shame in his game. And ninth verse. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. This is an opportunity. See, the example that Yeshua is setting to the disciples, he's letting them know, you have to be persistent. Amen. You have to persevere in prayer. Amen. You have to have earnest prayer and persistence. Amen. You have to come. Hallelujah. Keep on coming. Asking. Seeking. Hallelujah. Knocking. And it's going to be opened unto you. See, we have need of that. That's a must. Amen. Sometimes, you know, say, well, you know, sometimes I even say it, well, certain times when I pray about something, certain things I just leave it there and I don't mess with it anymore. But then there's certain things I keep going back. I keep going back. And I believe that's between you and your personal relationship with the Father, because he does hear us the first time we cry out to him in sincerity, in earnestness. That's where, you know, I always talk about this kind of in the introduction. Effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous, they do avail much. They do. They are effective and dynamic in their working. Amen. He hears effectual, fervent prayer that's coming. He knows the inner part of us, our inner being. He knows what's really in us. Amen. Who shall know the heart? For the heart of a man is desperately wicked. But the Father knows it. He knows it. He knows how to show us what's wicked in us, to help us walk out that wickedness. Get it out of us. Get it away from us. Amen. 10th verse, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer for him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, in other words, if you got some hurtful influence in you, or come on, we know how the disciples were. They kind of question the side and say a lot of times, why are you doing this? Why are you dealing with them? What's up with you? Come on now. So he knew what was in their heart. He knew who was going to deceive him or betray him. He knew. Come on. He knows what's in us. That's the bottom line. Amen. But if you being evil, if you have hurtfulness in you or some kind of bad influence still in you, come on now, but you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, oh yes, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? See, the Holy Spirit is who we need to direct us, to lead us. Amen. We need his guidance. Amen. So when we ask for his guidance, amen, when we acknowledge that he is present on the inside of us, when we acknowledge that when Yeshua left, he left us that comforter. He left us. That's him dwelling on the inside of us. That's Elohim dwelling on the inside of us, leading us, guiding us, directing us. If we're listening, we're hearing prompts. But the only way, come on now, he's going to hear us. We have to know that word has to be there. Amen. And that word, the Holy Spirit, brings back to our remembrance whatsoever has been said. That's why we have to study, meditate day and night. Amen. We must. We have to attend to the word. It's a must. It's important because a lot of times I even pulled up one of the passages of scriptures, but then the Holy Spirit was revealing to me. It came out of 1 Corinthians 7:35. And that's where Paul was really talking about marriage and talking about, you know, if I was you, he kind of says it, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, that, you know, it'd be best that you be single because you're not, you can just care of the things of Yehovah. You don't have to be so concerned and about all the other cares that you have to care for the other person when you're married. But yet and still, marriage is going to take place. But I believe the main point he was getting across is to all of us. Amen. Though he was specifying marriage, it still is for all of us. As believers, we have to refrain from taking into our lives multiple secular interests. A lot of times, things that's going on around us in the world, on the YouTube, on the Facebook, we spend more time in that in those arenas than we do in the presence of our God. In the time in the Word. Amen. We do it without restraint. There's no discipline. Come on now. Different things that we can put above him. He said he don't want us to put any idol before him. Anything that we give more attention to. And that's what persevere said, to attend to. So if we're attending to and giving attention to things that can pull us in, that's secular. Come on. There's a lot of secular stuff, especially with technology being like it is. Through the internet. There's so much that can pull us in and keep us engaged for hours. Television, entertainment, it can keep us pulled in and engaged for hours. I was in a conversation yesterday with someone, and I believe I see their number on the line, talking about entertainment. That's what the church is full of, entertainment. People of the Most High wants to be entertained. My husband used to preach that across the pulpit. Ooh, back in 2006, 2007, he was preaching that. You want to be entertained. See, we have to get to the point. We have to know the balance. It's okay to watch different things, but you have to pay attention to your timing. Recalibrate. Balance. Amen. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, our mind needs to be renewed. Our will needs to be converted to the will of the Father. And our emotions definitely need to be checked out because sometimes we just go off at the top of our hat, not even thinking about it. Because we have not been rooted and persevered in the things of what the Word says. We have not attended and paid attention to what the Word says in a lot of matters. We're so carnal. Because we're full of, you know, wanting to be entertained. And this secular stuff. It's just the truth anyhow. I've been there set myself. So I know I'm talking reality. I know I'm not in this by myself. I've been there, done that too. Oh, yeah. And he quickened me. Wait a minute, what are you doing? Get it back together. That's why you slipped in this area. That's why you said that in that area. Get it together, girl. So I said to you men, women, boys, girls who's listening, get it together. Get in his word. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that's never going to pass away. It's going to forever stand. It is our keeping power. If we want to be kept, we will be kept. But the only way we can be kept is through the word. Amen. It is our power source. It is our victory. Hallelujah. We have victory in and through the word. Amen. We have to put on some restraint. Our energy, we have to diverse our energy, reverse it, and attention to develop our spiritual life more so than this carnal flesh. We're going to always be in this flesh, and this flesh will never get saved. But see, we have the power and the authority with the aid of the Holy Spirit through the study of the scriptures to bring this flesh under subjection. But we have to do it. It's up to us to put on, to take off. Amen. Put on, hallelujah, Yeshua Messiah. Take off the things that this flesh, amen. Paul even encouraged you, you got to buffet this body daily. We got to fight against a daily. We got this flesh has to be put under subjection. because it always wants to win. Amen. Mm. So I would just say it'd be a good thing for us to take some time to look at where we're spending a lot of our time at. Take a look. Take some time and, you know, and just think about it and pay attention when you're doing daily activities, when you have that free time. What are you doing with that time, that downtime? Amen. What are you doing with it? And a lot of people say, you know, and I've heard this before, I don't have time. You better make time for such a time as this. You better make time to get in the word, to get in the book. Oh, I don't understand it. Holy Spirit is there to give us understanding. Take time to meditate. Sometimes you may not get an understanding on a passage immediately, but the understanding will come as you continue to meditate. As you read in one day, all of a sudden, whoop, boom, there it is. You might hear somebody teaching about it. Whoop, boom, there it is. And then when you go back and look at it yourself, you see a whole different light into that passage of scripture in its context of what it's saying. Amen. That's a blessing. That's how our Father, he is the revealer. He reveals his word to us by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that is the blessing. So we have to attend, yes, persevere, even in the word. It's so important. And that was that focal part of Luke. Amen. That Luke talking about it. Amen. We have to have a shamelessness when we go in before the Father. He tells us to boldly come before his throne at any time. See, we don't have to go before a priest anymore, as they did in the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament. They had to go before a priest. Amen. And he had to go and shed, have an animal bloodshed. Under that covenant, but there was a covenant. There was always a shedding of, when there's a covenant, there's always a shedding of blood. Amen. And we don't have to do that. See, we've been engrafted and adopted into the royal family through accepting and believing in that shed blood of this new covenant through the New Testament that we're in under Yeshua Messiah. Ha. He was the final, ultimate sacrifice. No more animal sacrifice for that blood. His blood that was shed for us gave us this new covenant that we walk in now. Hallelujah. Like I stated, grace is always here. It's always been here. It's to the entire world. Amen. Grace. It's so much wickedness going on, and a lot of things aren't being done as they deserved. Aren't being given as deserved. The Father is enduring. He's enduring. And I believe it's because of some prayers that's going forth. We have to even not just be persistent in our own, for our own sake, for our own relationship. Because, see, since we've been called to be disciples of men, we have to be discipled ourselves before we can help disciple anybody else. That's part of the calling and the mission that we've been called to be disciples of men. Amen. Help them become followers of Yeshua Messiah. And the law that he came to teach and preach, that he walked out according to the will of his Father. He always called God his Father. He never said God. He always said my Father. But they were one, of course, but he still addressed him as Father. Me and my Father are one. I only say what he says. My. We are becoming one with him as our relationship grows. We've been engrafted in. The Father looks at us just like he looks at the Messiah. He sees the ending already at the beginning of our lives. And we keep focusing on our flaws. We keep focusing on our shortcomings. See, those are not excuses. Now, they shouldn't be any longer. Because he takes those very weaknesses. He strengthens us in those very weaknesses to bring glory and honor through his name in those very weaknesses. where we can help someone else. He allows us to go through some of these things, and some of them, but he still allows it. The choices that we make. But when we've been called and chosen and set out, set apart, there's no escaping. There's no escaping the call unless you're just going to flat out just ignore it and be disobedient. Only the obedient are going to eat the good and the fat of the land. Be obedient to his command. Amen. That's what he instructs, his commandments, his laws, the governance of his laws. That's all Yeshua Messiah came teaching. Amen. That's what we still need, must live by. Amen. Especially once we know, and because of some of the wrong teaching we may have gotten or whatever, and then we come to know that, we have to honor what the word says. The Father never changed. He remained the same. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to our generation, the generations under us, we were to teach these things. It was given in the old covenant to teach this to generations to come. That means don't stop teaching. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm grateful this morning. So we're being persistent in that arena, in our faith walk, because that's important. That's important. Our faith walk is important. We are responsible for our faith walk. No one else is. We can be encouraged by others, but it's up to us to take the action to spend that time in the presence. And not only that, but we are accountable to our fellow brethren. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, we know it talks about the, you know, putting on the armor. Talking about the honor of your mother and father, it reminds of the first commandment we promised at the beginning, and it talks about that. Just because a lot of times throughout in the New Testament or the writings that were written, since we are in this new covenant of the New Testament, that's what we're living in, because it came, the new covenant came and was introduced. But because of the teachings that came, a lot of times pieces of the commandment are listed throughout, but then it's the laws it talks about a lot of times. We're talking about the commandment. And then sometimes law is mentioned, it's talking about the Jewish law that they were setting up and had already set up for a while before Paul got there talking and trying to reconstruct. Say, wait a minute, let me remind you of the laws you're supposed to be abiding by. You done set up your own camp. You done set up your own rules and traditions. Come on, let me remind you of what you're supposed to be doing. That's why they hated Yeshua. They hated him with a cause. And anyone who came talking about what he talked about from the history, just like Luke. Luke was following after history. When you read from the beginning of Luke, that first chapter, it talks about him giving the accounts. He's giving the accounts of what he heard about Yeshua. Amen. What he heard he did. Come on. Yes. So we have to know some history, even when we're reading these scriptures, to put them in their proper context of what they're saying and what they're talking about and who they're talking to. But even here, that's just what was going on, and he was encouraging the people here in Ephesus to put on the full armor of Elohim, just like we have to today, that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because it's a whole lot of things that come against us. And we don't want to wrestle with flesh and blood. Amen. Amen. We don't. So I'm going to break down into the 14th verse. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I meant to start at the 17th verse. Excuse me. And take the helmet of salvation for the spirit, which is the word of Elohim, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the passage of Scripture, which I had already had it written down, but when I went to look into the concordance, is the only passage that uses that word, perseverance. Isn't that that's amazing. I was shocked when I did go look it up because I had already had it written down to use because it came to my mind. Amen. The perseverance. And I knew that that was in that passage. But I said, well, let me see if it's anywhere else that I can kind of go with that too. But it wasn't. I was shocked. So we have to always pray with supplication in the spirit for all saints. We have to keep each other because it remind you what was just written about having on the full armor, knowing that the attacks of the enemy is going to come against us. Come on, we have to pray for one another with all perseverance. Amen. And the Greek word for that word, perseverance, was proskateresis. Because the word for persevere was proskaterio. So this was proskateresis, if I'm saying it correctly. Amen. So perseverance is the act of persevering. Amen. That's exactly what it is. And it's having that persistence, having that steadfastness, having that firm and secure with what you're doing. So even in our prayers, here it is again, as we're praying for the saints, we're persevering, as Yeshua in Luke assured the disciples, this is how you have to pray. Keep coming and asking and knocking and seeking, and I'm going to answer. He gave them an example of someone being persistent when they're asking for something. When that person went to their friend asking for some bread, and they shut the door in their face. That's just an example. See, sometimes you don't think the prayer is going to be answered. We have to be persistent. Amen. Hallelujah. And the only way we're going to know how to pray, know what the word says, because we want to pray the word. We want to pray the word in situations and circumstances. Not our own thoughts of how what we think about a situation, but pray what the word says. Amen. So we have to be persistent. It's a must. Because when we persevere, we get results. The results come. Amen. The results come. Look at what happened with that friend knocking at that door. He finally said, okay, let me give you whatever else you want. He gave him it was an overflow. He was ready to give him an overflow. So if that analogy was used, if we're going to the Father continuously, knocking, asking, seeking, he's going to come. And when it comes, we shouldn't be caught off guard when it comes in the overflow. Because he said he would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to that power that's at work on the inside of us. See, the Holy Spirit has given us the power what to even ask for through the word when we pray. And then when we pray, we must believe that we receive and we're going to have it. So when it comes, we may say, "Woo, wow, that was more than so-and-so." But it should be that way. You're not just totally surprised, though you may be, because I am sometimes. But then I recognize he blesses in the abundance, in the overflow. That's what kind of Father we serve. But we have to know how to continue to go to him. We don't want to know, we can't keep our eyes on the circumstance, the situation. We have to keep our eyes on the one who has and knows how to solve and knows how to fix and knows how to work out the situation. He's already given us the victory. So that's where our eyes need to stay, on him. And even through the process of whatever that situation or circumstance is, you will have peace. I've had it too much in different situations and circumstances. But the enemy, he don't want you. That's why he want to get you all distracted and get you all, caught up on secular performances or secular what's there out there to offer you, the Facebook and whatever you're spending more of your time in. He don't want you to try to separate time. He want to give you kind of what you like. Just think about it. Even when you're on these, like if you pull up something on YouTube, just to pull up on Google It starts sending stuff for you just, and before you know it, you click on that, then something else comes, you click on that. Come on. This social media is a distraction. We have to learn how to balance it out. Let him be the main attraction so you won't be distracted. I'm saying him. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Elohim. Hallelujah. He needs to be our main attraction. Let him entertain you in his word. Because his word, hallelujah, it helps. It brings joy. It brings joy. It brings relief in the midst of pain. When you read that word and meditate on it, it's giving you solace. It's giving you relax. It helps you. It helps me. So I know it helps you. It helps me to keep having that joy in the midst of something very chaotic. Whether it's finances, whether it's a health issue, whether it's something that you think may impact your entire livelihood. He owns cattle on a thousand hills. All the silver, all the gold belongs to the Father. Look at all in the Old Testament. When they would go in, and they would fight, like in, I think I was reading Chronicles, maybe earlier one day this week, when they would go in and they were instructed not to, they were instructed how not to fight. I think it was a fight in Chronicles. I was trying to think of who. I was just reading about it this week. But anyway, in the fight and in the battle, when they went in, it was more there. But when they went in, they collected every bit of the spoil, all the gold, all silver that was left, all the everything that was left behind. Came there. Amen. Who they were, who Egypt was first attacked against. I'm trying to remember the city. But who they were first, who first came against them, who the Father allowed to overtake them. In the end, they were able to go back and take everything they had. So that our Father still works that way. Sometimes the enemy working through somebody to set a trap for you. They don't realize they're setting a trap for themselves. And eventually, they're going to fall in. Eventually, they will. Though we must pray for our enemies. There's another must. The word has instructed us to do these things. Ha. My. So I'm just grateful that we must even be persistent in our prayer on behalf of the saints. Because we are going through some stuff. We are in the midst of some stuff. You can't just, oh, I'm praying for you, and then that's it. You really pray. Fervent prayers. You're believing. I'm standing with you. I'm standing in the gap with and for you. And I don't, when I don't say that lightly to people. Because personally, you have to pray too now. So I'm just saying I'm praying with you and for you. I say that a lot. And those who may be hearing me and know me and talk to me have heard me say that. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to stand in the gap in behalf and for back on the behalf of someone else. That's nothing but a blessing. That someone would even ask you to pray for them. Ask you to be in prayer with them. That's nothing but an honor. It's a privilege to be able to do that. Amen. And people trust that you're praying with and for them. Although our trust is more so in the Most High and what the Father says. Amen. Even in 1 Timothy 2 and 4. It's the Father's will. Elohim, it's his will that men be saved. So see, even during this time of feast, I think the 10th day, today is the first of the 7th biblical month. The 10th day, which is next Tuesday, the 26th of this biblical month, we are instructed to have a fast. And that's it written in Leviticus. All these instructions are in the book of Leviticus. Amen. Which is part of the Torah. It's the third book of the Torah. Amen. And Leviticus talks about these feasts that we have children of the Most High should be celebrating.
It doesn't mention the ones that's been traditionally set up, you know, through paganism, so to speak. Might as well, it's just the truth anyway, and I celebrated many of myself for many years. So, hey, I can talk about it. I was there, too. Not anymore. I just want to celebrate these feasts and learning, hallelujah, the celebration in these feasts. So I know on the 10th day, as the day is the day of trumpets, and we're having another service today outside of Sabbath service on yesterday. Today we'll be going there and gathering in fellowship, having that holy convocation time coming together. Amen. And I think we're going to be blowing trumpets and shofars. It's going to be a time of celebration. Amen. Every new month, every new biblical beginning of a new month, this happens. Amen. So today is a day of trumpets. That's what it's called. So the 10th day is called the Day of Atonement. And I'm excited, which that's really a day of the 10th day of the 7th biblical month. And that's really when the Holy Convocation, which is it's a day of affliction where it'll be a fasting taking place. Amen. And see, all this is in Leviticus 23, Numbers 29. You can write this stuff down. Go back and read it for yourself. Some of it talks about in Leviticus 16. It's in there. Amen. And I'm just glad that I'm taking part in these celebrations. I'm just excited. Hallelujah. In celebrating Jehovah. Hallelujah. My Savior. Hallelujah. Yes, it's a blessing. Amen. But in 2 Timothy, even during that time, we're praying for the saints. We're praying for the nation. I didn't even know this was going to come out like this in that explanation, but it came, the Holy Spirit brought it back to my mind as I'm learning of this. Amen. So in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, that's a very familiar passage of scripture. Amen. We went to Timothy one time, but we was 2 Timothy. No, this is 1 Timothy 2 and 4. Who will have, okay, third verse. But this is good and acceptable in the sight of, let's go back on up to the first verse. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of Elohim, our Savior, who will have all men, just that fourth verse, to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. See, he wants us all to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, we know that's not going to happen, but that's what the Father desires, that all would come. So now, if it's his will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, why are we seeing more of this happening in the multitudes, in the masses? Why are we not seeing that? I've wondered that. Have you ever wondered? I've wondered that. Have you? You know? And it doesn't just happen. We should be revitalizing all the time. You know, you have these revivals and you think that the revivals are set for people to come in. But really, the revival is for you to be revived, to be reminded. That's what it should be. Because we need to be revived ourselves. So we go about reviving others. Amen. One of the most things that is problem is that we're not praying persistently. What we just talked about for the saints, for people to come in. We have to pray in persistence. Amen. We must pray in persistence. Stay before the Father. Praying for them to receive his bread of life. Who is the bread of life? Yeshua, Messiah. He's the bread of life. He's the bread of salvation. Amen. And he's coming back again for a ready people, a prepared people, without spot and blemish. He wants us to be able to get along with others, be unified with, and we got so much division that man has created in these different doctrines,
in these different traditional or different denominations, we have so much division there, it makes no sense. And that's what the Father never wanted. But, you know, they started setting up all these different synagogues in the New Testament. They started setting up these different synagogues with the teaching, with their teachings and the Jewish customs. They started doing that. And it just continued. It just continued. We see it's crazy today in the time we're living in now. I'm just glad. I don't like being a part of that. The tradition of a man. I want to be in what the Father says, in his tradition and practice, what to keep and honor with him, what he says to honor, what he says to keep going. Amen. He has not changed. And I love that about him. He remains consistent. He remains firm. He remains secure. He is our security. He's steadfast. Yes, he is. He's firm. He's secure. Amen. He's consistent. Hallelujah. That's why we have to pattern our lives after what his son came to teach. What Yeshua came to teach. We are his sons and daughters too now. We've been adopted into the royal family. He doesn't look at us any different. The Father doesn't. Once we made that choice. And a lot of us been on this walk many, many, many years. Many, many years. This perseverance, you know, we talked last week about the keys that are in our hand. And he had me remind us of the keys that we have in our hand. And those keys are the word, is the word itself, to unlock, to tear down, to bind, to loose. We have these keys. We have these keys that help us to be persistent in prayer, even in intercession of prayer. When we're praying, because we ought to pray all kinds of prayers. We have to pray. This turned into a prayer and perseverance. I'm not talking about prayer. That's what's coming out. The Holy Spirit. Father, you are so bad. You are so good. I mean it in a good way. We have to be persistent. But see, if we don't know what the word says, we'll pray our own will about things. We won't pray what the word has to say about it. We won't pray unless the Holy Spirit will give us a divine insight into something, prophetic insight, like a word of knowledge about something pertaining to a person. You can be in prayer and all of a sudden he'll reveal to you what's going on. He'll reveal to you what he's going to do in that situation. And you can say that, but it lines up with the word. My. Thank you, Father. You're so good. You're so faithful. He wants everyone, that's his desire, to be saved. And see, we're continuously accepting him as our personal Savior, believing on the shed blood of Yeshua Messiah. That's not it. That's not it. That's not the end. There's more. We're yet being saved. Saved means deliverance. Deliverance is yet taking place in our lives, in this walk, over and over and over again. He's revealing to us mess that's in us. That's why I said we're in this flesh, this human flesh, that will never get saved. But he continued as we spend time with him, he continues. When situations and tests come up, you'll see what's in you. And some of you are not going to like. That's been my experience. I'm sure it's been yours. I know all of us have different experiences, but he wants to get the mess out of us. And he allows us to go through tests, trials, how we're going to stand in that test. How we're going to stand in that temptation. Because even in the temptation, he always gives us a way to escape it. But if we're not in the place or the word is not in us like it should be, we can fall. We won't be able to stand even in that, because he said there's always a way of escape. I believe you have to be in a place to escape it, where you won't yield unto the temptation. So when you're yielding in the flesh, that means who is the God of your flesh? Come on. Who is the Elohim? Who are you allowing? I'm speaking to myself too, but I'm saying you right here. Who are you allowing, or we allowing, to govern in the midst of those temptations? Because they're going to come. We're going to be tested, but we're not tested. The Father doesn't tempt and test us. Who does that? The enemy. The enemy. The devil himself. And the only way, it pays for us to persevere in this prayer, in this time, persevering. Being steadfast in our prayer, not stopping, continuing on to continue steadfastly in a thing, give continuous care to it. We have to continue to press in order that we will be able to fight against the wiles of the enemy, as we talked about briefly in Ephesians 6. That's why we must put on that full armor. Clothes, just like we put on our regular clothes to cover this natural body. We have to clothe ourselves in the word for our spiritual. Our spiritual is much more important. Our spiritual walk is much more important. Our spirit man. So he can subdue this flesh. That's the only way. Break it down in prayer. Break it down in prayer. Amen. Break down those evil forces in prayer. But one thing about the Father, he won't come against our will. That's why he gives us choice. He won't come against our will. He tells us, he gives us in the outline what to do and how to do it, but he won't come against our will. That's why in our soulish realm, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, our will, we need to surrender and submit to his will. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is continue to meditate, study on his word. And I may say some of the same things over and over and over. Apparently, it's important because the Father keeps having me to remind us. Apparently, it's important. Another passage of scripture, and I think I'm going to close. Yeah, I am going to close out with this one. It's coming out of 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. And I'm going to start. I'm still in the King James Version, in the 50th verse of 1 Corinthians 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So anything that's corruptible, stuff we see temporary, it's not going to go nowhere. It's going to fade away. Even our bodies, these fleshly bodies, they're going to dissolve. They're going to go back to the dust. What's real is our inner man, the spirit man, our spirit man. The Holy Spirit in us communes with our spirit man, the real us. See, this flesh is not the real us. The spirit of the man is the real man, woman, man. I mean man in general. Hallelujah. 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. See, everybody's not just going to go to sleep right now. To those who've already passed on and who are asleep right now, some of us are going to be caught up. We're going to see that right here in a minute. 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So those who are alive, and for this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See, there's no more death. There's no more death. Because this the perishable part of us, our perishable nature. But see, there's a mortal part of us, which is our spirit man. We have to understand this even the more. And I'm not saying you don't. But the Holy Spirit just has me kind of saying that. That's what's important. Gaining strength in our inner man. the mortal man, the one that's not going to perish, the one that's going to stand forever, that's going to live forever throughout eternity. Amen. O death, 55th verse. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? See, death has already been swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin. What? The sting of death is sin. See, sin is what tries to overpower our soulish realm. It tries to overtake us. And the strength of sin is the law. So when we follow after the law, it helps keep us from sinning. See, we don't follow after the law to be saved, because the law doesn't save us. But because we are saved or born again, we follow after the law because we love him. We know how much he loves us. He gave us the law for a reason. He loves us so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 57, but thanks be to Elohim, which giveth us the victory through our Jehovah, Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Jehovah. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, Jehovah. See, when we stay steadfast, there it is again, steady, secure, firm in who we trust in, who we believe in, who we honor, respect, revere, who we worship and bow down before. Not all this worldly stuff. We got to refocus ourselves, get ourselves balanced, rebalance if we need to, whatever area, whatever has been revealed to you in this talking, in this time of encouragement. I'm just sent to encourage, and I know that. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know that. To help us. I'm not anyone's judge. The Father's the judge. I just want to help us along the way. Because see, I'm helping myself. I definitely want to help somebody else, not just myself. With his truth. That's all I got. That's all I want to learn and know. His truth. So I can live it out, walk it out, and talk it out. That's it. So I encourage you, saints of the Most High, set apart ones, to live a set apart in a holy life before him. No, and that don't mean we go around looking like sour pussies and then covering up and looking all sad in our countenance and looking all crazy and looking like we're not taking care of ourselves. Oh, no. That doesn't mean we're holy. That's not holy living. Holy living is our lifestyle. How we are being conformed to him or transformed to him. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed into his image. I'm just grateful this morning that he's encouraging us to be steadfast, unmovable. I don't care what's going on right now. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't cave in. Don't lose heart. Keep it moving in Jehovah. Let the joy of Jehovah be your strength. Let it be. Let it be. That's it. I just want to just thank him this morning. Because Yeshua laid his life down for us so that we can be saved. Continuously. It's a continuous process. Yes, it is. Until we hear him say, I know what I want to hear him say, well done. That's what I want to hear. He laid his life down for us to be saved. But my question to you, will you lay yours down for him? Amen. Being perseverance, having that perseverance, being steadfast, unmovable, continuously abounding in his work in spite of persecution, tests, trials. Amen. And I'm just going to close out this morning with prayer. I've been opening up and there's been no comments or questions. So I'm just going to close out this morning with prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you today to say thank you. We give you the praise, the glory, the honor, the worship, all belongs to you. As we're worshiping you, hallelujah, bowing down before you, acknowledging who you are. As we're praising you with the clapping of our hands and the raising of our hands and with our mouth and our lips, or just praising who you are. As we're continuing to learn who you are even the more. You never stop teaching us. And that's the blessing. Hallelujah. You teach us over and over because we desire to be taught. I thank you for teaching me. I thank you that I love to learn. I thank you. And that's in every area of our life. Bless you for your faithfulness and your goodness in teaching us. Hallelujah. Not forcing yourself on us. And then not only that, but you give us the desires of our heart as we continue to delight in you. Help us to make your presence be a delight for us, not a task, but a delight as we're trusting you, as we're committing our ways to you, as we're depending on you. Thank you, Father, for continuously watching over your word to perform it. And as we go throughout this week and the next days to come, we thank you that we're going to meditate on being steadfast through perseverance, persevering through whatever we may be dealing with at the present moment, whatever someone else connected or close to us may be dealing with. We thank you that you're going to keep us persistent just as you are. For you said to be like you, you're holy, and we're going to be like you holy. You're consistent, we're going to be like you consistent. You're steadfast, never changing. Help us to be like that, Father. Help us. And we give you praise for it. Now, if there's anything anyone stands in need of, you know the need. We thank you for not just meeting it, but superseding it. As we continue to cry and call unto you, you are Jehovah, our Rapha, our healer, our Roha, our shepherd, our sickening, our righteousness. Jehovah, our Shalom, our peace. You are our Shema. You're ever present with us always. Hallelujah. You're Jehovah, our Nisi. You cover us, and we thank you. Jehovah, Sabaoth. You are Jehovah of hosts. You continue to assist, and we thank you for that. We don't take it for granted. Now, we just bless you and honor you as we go forth. We thank you as we continue to loose for our angelic host to keep us and guard us in all our ways. Walk on our behalf, and we thank you for that. And it's in the name of Yeshua we pray. We thank you for your travels of mercy. Amen, amen. And to you, Elohim, be all the glory. I speak in shalom peace. Shalom, shalom, shalom.